to unlock God's wisdom. How to unlock God's wisdom. And these are going to be some practical steps. And of course, we're going to get into the book of wisdom, which I'm sure you're aware of is the book of Proverbs. It says, well, let's start with, we need to understand where we're at first. I believe in the last days. I believe we're in the final days and the darkest days that mankind has ever seen. And it's going to get darker. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. And so we're in the final days. And so I believe we need the wisdom of God, the guidance of God's wisdom more than we ever have before. For the church to make it through the days that are ahead of us, we have to hear from God. We have to have understanding and God's guidance and God's direction, God's wisdom, God's purpose imparted into us on a regular basis. And so, you know, it can be hard, going through things. Like I'm going through things. My family's going through things. I'm sure you're probably going through some things. And it can be hard just looking at the darkness of the world around us. We can see, you know, possibly war on the horizon, economic collapse on the horizon. We have our own issues dealing with our own bodies or our families or our work or our children or you know, whatever's going on in our life. And so it can be hard sometimes to really hear from God, to really get the direction and the wisdom that we need in the times that we live in. But God has provided a way. And so I'm going to go through just a few things, and it's right at the beginning of Proverbs 3, and we'll turn there in just a moment. But we're going to go through some practical steps in hearing from God and getting the direction we need. And I want to start off by saying it's not just, you know, when an emergency happens, do these things. That's not actually how it works. You actually have to be living a lifestyle and pursuing God, surrendering your life to God, seeking wisdom, as the Bible says, as you're seeking for, you know, hidden treasure, as you're seeking for gold. So it's not just when an emergency happens, all of a sudden I'm going to become a spiritual giant and think everything's going to work. It doesn't work that way. You need to live a lifestyle in pursuing God. So when something happens, you know, you can be ready, you can hear from God, you can get direction you need. And so we're going to get into the Word on what it says about that. Like I said, we're in a time where we need wisdom more than ever before. This world is a dark place. We need to be able to navigate the obstacles and challenges we have in life. We have to make better decisions and find our purpose, what God's direction is for our lives. And so I'm going to start in Proverbs 2, then we'll go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 2:4 says this, if you seek for wisdom as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Okay, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, by the way. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth and comes knowledge and understanding. So, you know, we talk about the book of Proverbs as the book of wisdom, but really the entire Bible is the book of wisdom. This is where we find the knowledge of God coming out of God's mouth. It is the Logos, the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, the Rhema of God is in his Word. And so we need to be, obviously, in the Word of God. We need to be consuming God's wisdom on a daily basis because we're going to need it. As times get harder, things get darker, this has to be your daily spiritual food, or I'm afraid you're not going to make it. This can't just be a book that you hear about on a Sunday morning. This needs to be a book that you're in on your own on a daily basis. Amen? I'm not kidding about this. We're coming into the hardest times that mankind has ever known. And if you don't know this book, you are going to probably fail and have problems that you can't get out of. And I commend you for those that are listening or coming to church or whatever you're doing. That's a great place to be in the Word of God and hear someone ministering God's Word. And that's a good place to be. But you also have to be in your Bible as well. You don't want it just secondhand, but we really need a revelation of the Word of God. We have to have our own relationship with God, not through a pastor or not through, you know, your spouse who is more spiritual than you, or if you think so. No, not through someone else, but you actually know God for yourself. You're not going to make it unless you actually know God for yourself. And thank God for people that God brings into our life that you know, maybe do know the word and are more spiritual and so forth. Take what you can from them and enjoy that. But again, you need to really know God for yourself. I'm afraid too many Christians are depending on someone else. There's a spiritual dependency instead of a spiritual dependency on God. It's on someone else. And God hasn't designed it that way. We can get some supplements from the ministering of God's word through a minister, through a pastor, and all those things. But again, I want to emphasize, you need to really, really know God and his word for yourself. That's the only way you're really going to grow. That's the only way you're really going to make it through the things that are coming. You see, we don't know what's coming. We have challenges that we imagine are ahead of us, but God knows them all. And here's the thing. We say, hey, yeah, I believe God. And that's easy to say. We even go to church. We can even say we pray. We kind of can give a little nod to God from time to time and say, yeah, I'll pray over my food. That's like a nod to God, you know. And acknowledging, yes, God exists, and I believe in God. But the problem happens when a problem comes in your life, then you really know if you believe. Then when the fire comes, you'll find out whether you are depending on someone else, whether you really believe from the heart, or whether, you know, it was more just ritual, whether it was more from your head instead of from your heart. In fact, the book of Proverbs is an amazing book. It's like a precursor to the New Testament. It talks about things from the heart. And that's what's amazing about it. And it talks about spiritual concepts that are inward, not just, you know, outward conformity. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But as we've read, the wisdom of God comes from the Lord's mouth. And we know that God spoke this word, the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. That is the wisdom given to us. And it just amazes me that people, you know, are seeking for guidance and direction, but they don't open up this book. They don't know this book. This is it. This is the answers that we all need. We don't need more, you know, information. We're in a time of information overload. We can look up anything we want, anytime we want, on you know, Google or search engine of some kind, or we have an abundance of the media pouring information into our homes. We don't need more of that. We don't actually even need more education as much as we need more wisdom from the Word of God. And so, again, when we go through stress, we go through problems, we need to get back into this and seeking God for wisdom. And we'll get into the ways of doing that, but first you have to want it. Let's start with that one. I'll go through some steps in a moment, but you have to seek it. It's something you have to desire. It doesn't just fall on you. You have to seek wisdom. That's the nature of wisdom. He's made it hidden so that you'll seek after it, okay? There's a reason why a lot of the things of God are hidden. God has a purpose behind that. It's so that you'll seek after and dig into the Word of God. So how can we get the wisdom of God, the guidance we need so desperately in these days that we're in? All right, well, I'm going to kind of go through some steps here, but let's start in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm just going to read the first few verses, and there's so much in the book of Proverbs, and of course, I can't expound on all that. I'm just going to take a few verses and hopefully open that up to help you see some steps here that'll help us get the guidance and direction we need. Again, I know some of us are going through some issues and you're asking God for help and asking God for guidance. Well, hopefully you can kind of get a revelation of just a few things that God has given us starting in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." All right, let's break this down. There's a lot here. It starts off with my son. In other words, the book of Proverbs is like a father talking to a son. And what it is, it's kind of like Proverbs itself, or let me say it this way, wisdom itself is a person and it's speaking to us. It's like a person personified wisdom and like a father speaking to a son, and a son that hopefully listens, right? But so that's why it talks about my son, forget not my law. And this is This is really huge in my mind. Forget not my law. Why do we forget things? Some of us are getting older and we forget things, but that's not what I'm talking about. We make decisions about what's important. We forget stuff because we don't think it's really all that important. Some things. You know how you have to make a decision when you're listening to something, whether to discard some stuff or to accept some stuff, or some stuff is important, some stuff you'll deem as valuable, and then there's other stuff that you're like, I don't really care about that. All right, we're always making that decision constantly. And so this is talking about forget not my law. And we're not talking about, the law of Moses specifically. We're talking about God's word. Forget not the law of wisdom. Really, that's the subject. Forget not the wisdom of God. And so our challenge, and the first step I'm going to say is this way, is we are to value God's word. We have to place the highest value on the truth of God's word and God's wisdom. That's the first step. If we place high value on it, then we're going to respect it and interact with it the proper way. We're going to say that is the source of life. You know, when Peter said to Jesus, "You, where are we going to go, Lord? You're the one that has the answers. You're the one that has the words of life." When you have issues and problems with your life, you're not going to go seek some psychologist first or seek something in the world first or, like the world does. You're going to go, well, I know that the answer's got to be in here somewhere. And so you start digging. You start looking up scriptures based on whatever you're dealing with at that moment. You're going to go to the source. And so when you place a higher value on God's word, that's when you start to respect it the right way and, interact with it and say, this is where I need to go. I need to get God's wisdom. I need to go to God's word. And another part of this is not to place value on vanities. What do I mean by vanities? In other words, putting things in proper perspective, place proper value on God's word, on God's wisdom, and discard all the vanities of this world. And there's a lot, understanding how the world thinks, how, what's important to the world should not be important to us. Well, let's see how many social media follows and likes I can get. Let's see, how do I become more attractive, more beautiful? How do I have greater wealth? How can I grow my wealth? And all these vanities, all these things that are empty and meaningless for eternity. Discard the junk of this world. People spend their lives that are news junkies, or they're all about following the latest celebrities and whatever what's going on in their lives and the gossip of celebrity news and junk like that. Turn that junk off. Discard the junk from this world that is absolutely meaningless. I'm seeing so many Christians that are placing value on things that are not valuable, that are not eternal, that are not important. And that's why they're not making good decisions. I can follow the decisions of their life. I'm a pastor. I get a little insight into people's lives from time to time and see, you're making some bad decisions. And the reason why is placing wrong value on wrong things. In other words, they're valuing things that are unimportant and not valuing the things that are important. How much time do you spend in the Word? We can be so tempted because we want to take the easy way. The flesh, naturally speaking, always wants to say, it's easier to sit here and watch my TV show instead of getting in the Bible or praying or whatever. And you have to be a person. I'm talking about, we're living in the last days. I'm talking about your spiritual survival here. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch TV. I'm just saying place the proper value on it. You know what? There's nothing much here. Let's get in the Word. I occasionally watch TV, but it's not a lot, okay? I want to spend my time meditating and thinking on the Word of God. I spend my time, driving down the street. I'm always listening to the Word, to music, Christian music, spiritual Christian music, not just quote-unquote Christian music, real praise and worship. Spend my time listening to sermons and teachings, reading Christian books, constantly, that's where I place my value. And it's not just because I'm a pastor. We all should be like that. We all should be doing that. And it's real easy, of course. I mean, to be tempted to spend more time, you know, watching TV than we should, or spend more time in, you know, social media, more time, you know, in things that are vanity. This is how we're going to make better decisions and get the wisdom of God, is placing proper value on proper things and discarding things that are of no spiritual or eternal value. So let's read this verse again. My son, forget not my law. That's all I've got to, is just using the word forget, meaning to neglect. Okay? People neglect God's word and place value on things that are not important. Here's the other half. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Again, Proverbs is amazing. It speaks of the heart so often. God is going to judge and looks at the inward man more than the outward man. Now, outwardly, we can show we're doing the right thing. We can have people fooled. People think that you're spiritual because outwardly we're trying to please people instead of trying to please God. But that, again, that's another type of vanity in itself. In our heart, seek after God. Not just who cares if anybody sees. You should be the kind of person that praises and worships God when nobody's looking. That means you mean it. That means it's really between you and God. If you're just trying to do it for other people to see, you know, I used to be like, I mean, I'm a human being. I grew up in church, and I was a teenager, and I was all worried about if I raise my hands and if anybody's looking. And, you know, you ever been there? We've probably all been there at some point. Maybe you're still there. We go through that, but I want you to get past that. It's called spiritual growth, where your whole world isn't about, you know, if people are looking at you. It's about you and him. Your focus is on him. And if people see, fine. If people don't see, I don't care. That's fine too. And so that's where we want to be, is we want to get to a place where we're growing. And so, but let thy heart keep my commandments. When in other words, when God tells you to do something in his word, in the Bible, from your heart, do it. Not outwardly for men to see, but do it from the heart. Hallelujah. And that, again, it goes back to placing the proper value on God's word, on God's wisdom, on God's direction, right? If you mean it from the heart, hallelujah, you're going to have a spiritual result. You're going to have God helping you, guiding you, moving with you to do whatever it is he's calling you to do. So again, the first step is value God's word and God's wisdom, and don't place value on the vain things of this world. And there's so much wealth and popularity and the junk going on TV and so forth. That, don't place value on those things. Second, again, going back to obey the word. Obey what God said in his word from your heart, not out of legalism and not out of trying to please men. That's the second step. Live a life of obedience to the word of God from the heart. That's the key. We are spiritual people. We've been born again by the Spirit of God on the inward man. I want to please my Heavenly Father. That's what my whole world is about. That's what I want everything to be about, is him being the center of my life. And what's going to happen? Verse 2, it says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto you. In other words, keeping God's commands, they're going to add life to you. It says that also in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. You know, some people have an idea. Well, you know, you're set to die on a certain day, and there's no changing that. That's not what this says. God, you can have days added to you. You can have years added to your life by living in wisdom. Many people have cut short their life because they weren't wise. They made bad decisions. You can probably think of some people like that. You might have even been one of those people. Hopefully you've changed and started a path of choosing God, God's word, God's wisdom. But decisions can cut short your life. You know, of course, we can think of examples of people smoking and drinking and partying and drugs and things, alcoholism and things that'll kill the body, sexual sins and things like that, all these things. And people think, oh, you know, being a Christian, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Let me tell you, being a Christian is the most fun you will ever have. I have joy, endless joy. I have endless peace. Even in the midst of great problems, I still have joy and peace in my heart. I still can praise God. I know my Heavenly Father. I know I have an eternity that's going to be with Him. No matter what I'm going through, I know I'm safely in the hands of God, and nothing is outside of His control. I can hand any of my cares and anxieties over to Him, and He's got it. He's got me, and I can praise God. And it's a life of, you know, it is fun. It is the most fun I've ever had in my life, being a Christian, you know, as opposed to living in sin and destroying myself. That's just foolish. And so we have the best life there is. We have peace and joy no matter what we're going through. In fact, it says, for length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to you if you do the word of God. This word peace means, as it sounds, you know, tranquility and contentment, but it also means soundness. It means wholeness, being whole and sound. And in other words, you're not, you know, going up and down with your emotions. You're not going up and down with the circumstances of what you're going through. And you're not, you know, fluctuating with all the ebbs and tides of ebbs and flows of the junk going on in this world. But you're holding steady. You're steady all the time. That's the way we're designed to be. No matter how things change on the outside, we're on the rock of Christ Jesus, the rock of wisdom. Christ is, I believe that's one of His titles. He is the wisdom of God, the Bible says. That's who He is. That's what He is. And we're founded on that rock of God's wisdom, following the ways of Christ, following the ways of Jesus. Well, you say, well, how do you do that? Well, if you don't know, you know, if you're new to the things of God, I would give you Matthew chapter 5. There's this thing called the Sermon on the Mount, and at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, there's called the Beatitudes. Start there. Start living your life based on Christ Jesus, what He says, but also how He lives. Follow His life in your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but start reading the Sermon on the Mount over and over and get those Beatitudes in you. That's how you start living out the life of Christ. We can live like Jesus. We can make the decisions that Jesus would make. It's right there in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And those Beatitudes, they're like hard-hitting. That's how we start thinking like Jesus and living like Jesus and having the wisdom of God coming out of our lives. So these are the benefits. You're going to have long life. That's true when we live in wisdom and peace added to our lives. But then let's keep going. Verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy. Now this word mercy, often when we see it in the Old Testament, it's talking about, you know, God's loving kindness. That's literally how it translates in Hebrew. It's loving kindness. It's kindness. It's goodness. So it's often talking about God's goodness and mercy. But in this case, it's talking about you also being kind, being a good person. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived, besides Jesus himself, he puts emphasis on living a life of kindness. See, a lot of people don't value that. Ah, whatever, right? No, kindness is huge. This is what wisdom says. This is what wisdom does, is let not mercy, which means kindness, goodness, and truth forsake thee. Okay, so the third step is let your life be one of kindness and truth from the heart. You know, kindness is so important. It's one of those fruit of the Spirit. You know, New Testament concept. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Are you a kind person? Do people like to be around you? Are you a good person? Maybe you can think of someone in your life that was kind, and I thought of people in my life that were kind, and I'm like, man, I like being in their presence. Do people like being in your presence? Kindness is consideration, where their whole world, you know, if you're, I just think of kind people in my life, their world was not all about me, 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 but it's about you. When you're in their presence, their attention is on you. And they're out to bless you, to serve you, to help you. There's been people in your life probably like that. Why don't you be that person? Why don't you be the kindest person you know? Be good to people. This is so important. It's so easy to discard this and say, oh, whatever. No, this is it. We're talking about a life of wisdom, being kind to other people. And then, of course, it mentions truth. Be a person of truth. You know, we have so many problems in our marriages or with our kids because we're not kind to them. And we don't tell the truth. We're not honest. And people know that, particularly the people that know you the best. They know whether you're an honest person. They know whether you're telling the truth. We have conflicts that we need not have because we're not kind and we're not truthful with people. We're not an honest person. Set aside all that flesh and say, God, help me to be a kind person. Help me to be a truthful person, always telling the truth, not exaggerating. We can do that so easily. We can embellish and add on to the things that we say and trying to make things bigger than they really are. Trying to show off. That's trying to please men. That's trying to exalt oneself. Set aside all that. Be an honest person, a truthful person, a kind person all the time. How do you treat your spouse? How do you speak to your spouse? Sometimes we can be the most rude to the ones that are the closest to us. And then we wonder why we have problems with our spouse or even with our kids. James warns us about that. That's in James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Talking about the tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It is set on fire of hell. Do you have hell in your household? Do you have fire in your household? Do you have fire with your kids? Do you have relationships that are broken? What have you been saying? Go back to how have you been treating people? How have you been talking to people? Are you kind? Are you a good person? Are you a truthful person? Let's keep going. Verse 4, so you shall have favor. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. That's what we need. That's what we want. So if you are a kind, good person, speaking always truth, you're going to find favor. What is this word favor? Well, favor with God is really acceptance with God. But then it talks about favor with man. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, some people have problems with their boss, their co-workers. There's always some kind of drama going on. There's always something going on with people they work with or people they're around all the time. What have you been saying? You don't have favor with people because you're not kind to people and you're not truthful. Change that and you'll see your relationships change. And so you'll find favor both with God and with man. And I didn't even get to the good part. You probably know Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I might preach on that the next time. I don't know. But my time's about up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Talking about steps to living a life of wisdom, getting the wisdom we need in dire circumstances. I'll just go back and just repeat One, value the Word of God and discard the things that are vanity, that are not of any value of this world. Two, obey God's wisdom. Obey God's Word from the heart, not for men's approval. And three, let your life be one of kindness and truth all the time. And then four, which I didn't get into, I'll maybe get to it another time, it's going to be trust from the heart. Trust Him completely. Lean not. Don't lean on your own mind and your own experiences, but lean completely on God. Lay all your weight on God. Just put it all on there. I'm not going to break this podium, but put all your weight on God when the problems come. All the time, of course, but particularly when the problems come, praise God that He is working on your behalf. He loves you. He cares for you. And you can put all your weight on Him. He is a faithful and a good God. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer, and God willing, I might speak some more on this next time. Father, we thank You so much that You've given us Your Word, that we can put our trust in Your Word, Your wisdom in Christ Jesus, who is our example of wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. That You've given us the New Testament. You've given us the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, so we can see in a practical, real way how to live out this life of wisdom, how to make the decisions of how to interact with people, to be kind, to be good, to be truthful, to value Your Word above all else, to value Your wisdom. Lord God, I ask that You give us wisdom. You could pray this from your heart right now. God, give us wisdom. Just as Solomon prayed, give us Your wisdom. We need it today. We need it every day. We cry out from the heart, give us Your wisdom, Your guidance and knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. We know if we do it, we'll live a long life. We'll have peace and we'll have joy, and we'll give Jesus all the praise and glory for it. In His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Taylor. I have a couple announcements. We want to thank all of you who came out and supported our prayer set. It was great, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. We truly felt the Lord's presence in this place. And if you have not already given, I encourage you to give so that we can support the kingdom of God. And if you would please stand, and I will dismiss, and we can get out of here. Heavenly Father, thank You, first of all. I want to say thank You for being the one and only true Heavenly God. Lord Jesus, I just pray that with the times that we're in now, that we will get into our Word, knowing that when we get into Your Word, we will learn of You, God, and Your will and Your ways. We'll learn of Your righteousness, Your holiness, Your unconditional love that You have for us, God. And when we start getting into Your Word, God, we will see that all these things that we desire on this earth will begin to fade away. God, I thank You for sending Your one and only begotten Son, that He died on the cross for us, God. But more importantly, He rose on the third day. And I just thank You, God, for Him. Father God, I pray this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.